This is Social Entrepreneur with Eric Santarud of Mighty Axe Hops.
It's not my job anymore to figure out how to do as much as I can with no budget. Now it's my job to do the best I can with a budget.
Welcome to Social Entrepreneur. My name is Tony Lloyd. I'm a former Fortune 500 executive, but today I spend my time with changemakers who are making an impact in the world. Each week, you'll hear exciting stories of ordinary people just like you who are making a difference. They share their successes, their failures, and what they're learning along the way. Thanks for being with me today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome to Social Entrepreneur, today with Eric Santarud of Mighty Axe Hops. I like Eric's story on a lot of different levels. So one is his particular area is he's really starting up the hops industry in Minnesota, which may not immediately sound like it's a big social impact. But if you think about kind of the economic impact for farmers, for those who provide inputs, for those who process hops, for those who provide the machinery, for all those, it's really an economic stimulation here in the Midwest. There are also social impacts that Eric will talk about, environmental impacts. So Eric is really trying to create a system within Minnesota in the hops industry so that he has more of a social impact. The other thing I really like about Eric's story is he's tried so many different things, and he'll talk about this, but he was with a group called Twin Fin, Farmers Legal Aid, Urban Oasis, Sandbox Center, Global Shapers, and all of that was in 2013 while he was graduating from college. And eventually in 2013, he started Mighty Axe Hop. The other thing I really like about Eric is he's a good illustration for the social good ecosystem that exists within Minnesota. So I first met him at the Acara Institute at the University of Minnesota, which is part of our ecosystem here. And currently he's related to the Impact Hub, and the Impact Hub is a great gift here to Minnesota. It's really kind of bringing that ecosystem together. So here he is, Eric Santarud of Mighty Axe Hops.
Hi, I am Eric Santarud. I am a CEO and farmer at Mighty Axe Hops, and we grow hops for beer.
All right. Hops for beer. So help me understand the social environmental impact that you're out to have.
We're, by growing hops closer and to the brewer, so we're producing hops locally. Whereas that wasn't an option before. And so that has certain environmental benefits, and then as well as social benefits of keeping the money in our state. We sell primarily to other brewers in Minnesota. But we also have social and environmental benefits in how we operate as a farm. So how we treat our employees and how we manage our landscape both have social and environmental benefits too.
There's economic benefits to growing in Minnesota in the local ecosystem. So we're kind of keeping the money in the local ecosystem, right? There's the environmental stewardship, the way that you're managing that, the social impacts as well. So your degree, what was your degree in?
I ended up making my own degree, actually.
Yeah.
I went to the University of Minnesota and I got my own degree studying sustainability, business, and social justice. So that three-legged stool approach. But my class ring says food on it, because really what I wanted to study was food systems. And when I sat down for the ring, they said, you can put whatever you want for your major. So food.
Food.
I would classify hops as food.
Absolutely. So you're creating this new product in Minnesota. And before you, I mean, where do people get their hops?
Hops are grown across the world. Particular varieties are grown in Germany and Eastern Europe. Some varieties are grown in Western Europe. But mostly, for most of the American-style beers that you drink, most of those hops come from Washington or Oregon.
Yeah. And so what was your path? How did you end up growing hops?
Well, me and my business partner, Ben, started growing hops because we both really liked beer, obviously. We're in college and we're looking for something to do with our, maybe something more applied with our majors. So I, you know, had an interest in entrepreneurship and farming, and Ben had an interest in his major was horticulture. So we started growing a little bit of hops at my family's farm in Ham Lake. And what started as 20 plants, which is basically what you can do in your backyard. You know, now we take care of getting to 80,000 plants this year.
You started Mighty Axe Hops in 2013, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so what else were you doing at the same time? Because I was looking at your LinkedIn page, and it looked like you might have had one or two other projects going on at the same time.
Yeah, that was the early years. That was 2013 was also the year I graduated from college. I had a lot of irons going. I was trying to figure out something that would or could become a job sooner rather than later. So I was involved in a handful of startups through late college and just after college, like Twin Fin Fish and Greens was a blue food, and that was an aquaponics startup. And I was involved in an organization that was looking to support other would-be young farmers called Sandbox Cooperative. Or then we changed it to Sandbox Center for Regenerative Entrepreneurship. That was another thing I was involved with at the time. And that was a cool project, and just didn't quite end up where it needed to be.
Let's see. You also were involved with Urban Oasis for a while, weren't you?
I was. That's right. Urban Oasis was a project that won a $1 million grant from the City of St. Paul and the St. Paul Foundation, because it was the idea of what would you do to make St. Paul better, you know, even better. And so I was part of Urban Oasis, which initially was thinking about starting a food hub, which is a pretty buzzwordy term right now, but it's an idea of a business that operates by aggregating production from a handful of local growers who might be smaller, and by aggregating, getting those local growers access to larger buyers, like institutional buyers, like hospitals or schools.
And you also were involved around maybe 2014 with the Farmers Legal Action Group, right?
I was. I've actually worked for FLAG off and on a couple times. FLAG is one of the best farmer lawyer groups in the country, and explicitly work on justice issues as they relate to farmers.
Right.
So it's not like the person you'd call, you know, just to write up a contract, although they can do that too. They're more involved in, they were, you know, they grew out of the farm foreclosure crisis in the 80s. So class action lawsuit and discrimination lawsuits, that sort of stuff.
Sort of the social justice in the farming space then.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we could go on and on. I mean, you were involved with, and probably still are involved with Global Shapers. You're Yep. over at the Impact Hub. You're, you know, I mean, we could talk for 15 more minutes just naming the projects and organizations and the initiatives that you've had going. So why do you think that is? Why do you think that you pursued so many things all at the same time?
I think generally this boils down to that I really want to make a difference with my life. And that's always kind of been my answer. People would ask, well, what do you want to do with that major? Especially once I made my own. Well, I just want to make a difference. And I'm not really committed in any direction, or I wasn't, on what that difference would be or what tool I would use to make that difference. And eventually people stopped asking me what what I wanted to do with the degree, because it was patently obvious I was doing a lot of things with the degree. But I that phase in my life, I was just saying yes to a lot of things and exploring a lot of options and, you know, really embracing that opportunity that I had with my final years in college and the initial years after college to, you know, I didn't have a mortgage. I didn't have a lease on a car. I wasn't married. I, you know, didn't have kids. Not that I have all those things now, but there's a sliver in your life where your commitments in your personal life might not be as stringent as they tend to grow to be. And I wanted to take full advantage of that time. And I'm using the past tense here because I feel like I'm transitioning a little bit out of that. I know more about what I want to do for the next 5 years. I know where I want to live. I know how I want to live. Nice. And so, you know, that history of being involved in a whole lot of things, I'm really shrinking that down to be involved in just the things I really want to be involved with.
Yeah, it's sort of like you created your own degree, and it was sort of like you were creating your own career too.
Yeah, it was. That was an amazing process to be able to create my own degree. It gave me all the creativity and freedom that I needed to make the most out of my degree. You know, I don't know if it's as valuable in like a strictly numbers sense as a degree that's easier for someone to understand on a resume, but I also am not sure how many jobs I'm going to have again where it's based on my, you know, the only thing they know about me is the resume and the stack.
So you started Mighty Axe Hops. You started on a family farm, on your family farm, and you started with 20 plants, and you were doing a lot of other projects at the same time. So how did you guys end up funding and starting Mighty Axe Hops then?
The real start, I mean, those 20 plants, you know, that was money that Ben and I put in out of our own pockets, not very much. But the real start came with the Acara Challenge and the funding that we won in that business competition. So we were a gold winner in the Acara Challenge, I think in 2013, maybe that was 2014. We were able to secure a $5,000 grant from Acara in order to expand from 20 plants, which is like a real backyard size, to at that point, 200 plants, which we thought was incredible. And that was really the starting point, though. That was the little bit of extra money that we needed to put more proof behind our concept so that we could be more confident as we sought additional funding to continue to grow.
Yeah. And so did you go out and find investors after that then to scale up, or is this something you've continued to fund just by selling your hops and then plowing the money back into the business?
No, this is all we expanded after Acara. We worked and got a few family and friends loans, basically, very low interest, just things so we could grow a little bit more. And then we came upon this opportunity, which we took, to bring on an equity investor, and we expanded significantly last year and bought a new farm and all that kind of thing. So we're full time now. And we're really on the right path in order to reach our goals, which are our main goal is to create a vibrant Minnesota hops industry. And so we're right on the track to do that.
And you started in Ham Lake. Now the expansion is in Foley, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. And so what do you think's really been the biggest challenge of trying to grow this business?
Gosh, our biggest challenge so far has been a fairly mundane one, but like the suppliers, we've had a really difficult time with some crucial supplies for our farm and finding good quality and people who can deliver on that input. So that's been the biggest surprise for me, and it's been our biggest challenge, honestly. But I think as we continue to move, we'll, you know, more challenges will come up. The negotiation process was pretty straightforward. I felt that our investors and us have a very good relationship and have from the start. So that it never felt sharky. It never felt like we were trying to hide information from each other. You know, it was never all about the money. So there was a lot of room in there for that to go well.
You're just passing your 4-year anniversary on Mighty Axe Hops.
That's right. That was last Friday.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Yeah. And what's really been like the biggest win or the biggest benefit, do you think, so far from this venture?
Well, I think for me as an entrepreneur, it's been incredibly rewarding and the, like, you know, the visceral, not monetary, not whatever, but in like the sense of being an entrepreneur and having an idea and committing to that idea and pushing it all the way through from conception to iterating and the prototyping and bringing it to the point where it has legs. And, you know, my problem is no longer, it's not my job anymore to figure out how to do as much as I can with no budget. Now it's my job to do the best I can with a budget, you know, and it's my job to, instead of try to figure out how I can get every single thing done that needs to get done, how do I work with other folks to make sure we're all getting everything done as a team and with employees? That shift has been really, really fun for me. I mean, I think the reason I like entrepreneurship is because of how challenging it is. And I really am engaged in things when they're challenging me, when it's difficult, and I have the ability to respond how I want and make my own decisions and how to try to address those challenges. So that's been the most rewarding part.
When you think about your main metrics, your KPIs or your impact or however you want to think about it, what are the main things that you're measuring?
We're directly measuring water quality and soil health. So every year we take soil quality tests and we are looking to increase certain aspects of the soil quality, mostly organic matter, which is kind of the closest one metric corollary to soil health. And we're also able to take and collect water samples out of the drainage ditch on our farm. And over time, we'll be able to come up with some baselines to try to beat what, if anything, that we're using on our property is ending up in the water. So those are two big environmental metrics. On the social side, my prime metric is around employee satisfaction. So those are all, you know, everything around that is retention and enjoyment, and are they moving towards their personal goals that they set at the beginning of their season for themselves and what they want to accomplish and what they want to learn and experience as part of their job. So those would be the metrics.
So Eric, as you think about other people who are trying to start up their own social enterprise, what's a key piece of advice or something you've learned that you'd pass along?
The thing that helped me the most was just learning to just do it and start something and try something, but kind of in a smart way. So I really like the idea behind the lean startup methodology. I always approach it kind of like a scientific hypothesis. So you've got this business plan, this business idea. Test as much of your assumptions in that business plan as possible with the least amount of risk. And then those go well, increase your risk a little bit. And, you know, I mean risk by how much time or energy or money you're putting into it, risk, whatever other sort of risks you can quantify or think about, and test it a little bit at a time. That's why there were so many projects I was a part of. They were all really low risk. And then as they started to creep up, higher risk being necessary to test more of those assumptions, you know, you try to commit more into the ones that look like more risk will bring better results. And that's how I kind of, you know, hopscotched my way onto this Mighty Axe path, right? And, you know, I'm firmly on that path now.
Good. And how can people find Mighty Axe Hops online or on social media?
We're on all of them, Mighty Axe Hops. I don't know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, internet. It's all Mighty Axe Hops, so you can't miss it.
And your website is mightyaxehops.com?
That's correct.
Yeah. And a call to action. So people have been hanging out with you and me for the last 20 or 30 minutes or so. What's something you'd like to see them go and do as a result of this conversation?
I think what I'd invite everyone to do, I hope the listeners aren't too wound up, but I would just turn off all your stuff and go out for a walk in nature and just see what bubbles up in your head. I try to do that on a regular basis and forget about the books and the tweets and the whatever and stop working. Go for a walk.
No, that's great. Well, Eric, thanks so much for being with us on Social Entrepreneur.
You're super welcome. Thanks.
And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we produce Social Entrepreneur every Monday. You can find the show notes, bonus material, and more at tonyloyd.com. That's TonyLoyd.com. And while you're at it, will you do me a favor? Subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. It really helps others to find these stories of changemakers who are making a difference in the world. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining me today. And until next time, please remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time on Social Entrepreneur.